Review: The Real Anthony Fauci, Bill Gates, Big Pharma, and the Global War on Democracy and Public Health, by Thomas J. DiLorenzo, an Audio Mises Wire, narrated by Michael Stack. In his must-read new book, The Real Anthony Fauci, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. describes how journalist Liam Sheff chronicled Fauci's secretive experiments on hundreds of HIV-positive foster children at Incarnation Children's Center, ICC, in New York City, and numerous sister facilities in New York and six other states between 1988 and 2002. He describes in detail how Fauci's NIAID, National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, and his Big Pharma partners turned Black and Hispanic foster kids into lab rats, subjecting them to torture and abuse in a grim parade of unsupervised drug and vaccine studies. The real Anthony Fauci was a greedy egomaniac hell-bent on creating an image of himself as the savior of the world during the AIDS crisis, while generating billions in profits for his pharmaceutical industry partners. The partners would then share some of the loot with Fauci and others in various ways, including sharing in patent rights, the revolving door of very highly paid jobs for former government bureaucrats, paying multi-million dollar user fees to the NIAID, distributing shares of stock, and so on. The pharmaceutical industry remunerated Incarnation Children's Center for supplying children for the tests, writes Kennedy. The tests involved giving the children experimental drugs that were toxic. They're known to cause genetic mutation, organ failure, bone marrow death, bodily deformations, brain damage, and fatal skin disorders. Torture is not too strong a word to describe what happened to these children. If the children refuse the drugs, says Kennedy, they're held down and force-fed. If the children continue to resist, they're taken to Columbia Presbyterian Hospital, where a surgeon puts a plastic tube through their abdominal wall into their stomachs. From then on, the drugs are injected directly into their stomachs. This wasn't science fiction or a sick horror movie, says Kennedy, but Fauci-funded AIDS research. Many of these children died as a result of the research. Investigative journalist Vera Sharaf, who spent years investigating all of this, told Kennedy that Fauci just brushed all those dead babies under the rug. They were collateral damage in his career ambitions. She said that at least 80 children died from Fauci's drug torture chamber in the Manhattan foster home alone. You probably never heard of this, but the BBC produced a documentary of the savage barbarity of Dr. Fauci's science projects in 2004, entitled Guinea Pig Kids. A BBC investigative journalist said in the documentary that, "I found the mass graves at Gate of Heaven Cemetery in Hawthorne, New York. I couldn't believe my eyes. It was a very large pit with astroturf thrown over it. Under it, one could see dozens of plain wooden coffins. There may have been 100 of them." The New York City Administration of Child Services commissioned a 4-year investigation of Fauci's Dr. Mengele-style experiments and found that 80 of the 532 children who participated in Fauci's clinical trials died, and 25 died while enrolled in a medication trial. By 2003, Fauci's NIAID was running 10,906 clinical trials involving children in 90 countries. Today, Fauci, his longtime vaccine manufacturing billionaire partner Bill Gates, Big Pharma, and the World Economic Forum are desperately campaigning to have every child in the world, even infants, injected with their latest vaccine. These are the same people who have publicly fantasized about all humans someday having an implanted digital ID in their bodies to achieve their goal of transhumanism. They say they want a digital ID implanted into everyone for purposes of government monitoring of all human behavior by some kind of super international government institution. Where is James Bond when we need him? Another charming fact about Fauci that Kennedy discusses is that Fauci has also funded, with your hard-earned tax dollars, experiments where beagle puppies had their heads locked into cages where they could be eaten to death by flies. He also gave University of Pittsburgh researchers $400,000 to graft the scalps of aborted fetuses onto living mice and rats. Not exactly the type of job one would expect a good Jesuit Catholic schoolboy like Anthony Fauci to have. Fauci is a Catholic in the same sense that abortion worshiper Joe Biden is a Catholic. The man is in reality a sociopath who has pushed science into the realm of sadism, writes Kennedy. Who else but a criminal sociopath would have any involvement at all in such things? Or, for that matter, dropping atomic bombs on helpless Japanese civilians, firebombing entire European cities occupied by civilians, lobbing thousands of artillery shells a day on your own country's cities, also occupied only by civilians, that is, Atlanta, Charleston, and Vicksburg, during 1861-65, killing 400,000 Filipinos for refusing to be occupied and conquered by your government, mass murdering 50,000 Plains Indians to make way for the railroads, as General Sherman once announced, and so on ad infinitum. But I digress. Government bureaucrats love crises like wars, hurricanes, depressions, pandemics, and so on, because in times of crises, millions of average citizens become childlike. Their IQs seem to be cut in half, at least, and they beg for a substitute mommy and daddy to protect them, their new mommy and daddy being the state. All of a sudden, they are willing to abandon all of their civil liberties and embrace totalitarianism like a drowning man embraces the side of a lifeboat. This is exactly the behavior of millions of Americans since March of 2020. The absence of a crisis, on the other hand, creates a crisis for government bureaucrats. To the bureaucrat, there is a crisis whenever there is no real crisis. It is imperative, therefore, that every government bureaucrat becomes a hysteric who is constantly trying to alarm the public with the perception of a crisis or an impending crisis. He is a professional liar, in other words, and can rely on the socialist indoctrination organs known as the media to hype his crises. After all, it's perceptions that count in politics, not reality. Fauci is no more than your ordinary run-of-the-mill bureaucratic crisis monger and serial liar, as Kennedy documents in Chapter 11, Hyping Phony Epidemics, Crying Wolf. Early in his government career, Fauci was involved in promoting hysteria over what was called the swine flu. NIAID and its pharmaceutical industry puppet masters told Congress and the White House that the swine flu was the same strain of virus that caused the infamous 1918 Spanish flu epidemic that is said to have killed 50 million people worldwide. The government poured money into Fauci's NIAID, and Big Pharma made big bucks by getting President Ford in 1976 to give them $135 million to supposedly inoculate 140 million Americans. In the end, writes Kennedy, the actual number of pandemic swine flu casualties in 1976 was not 1 million, but one. Patients injured by the experimental swine flu vaccine filed 1,604 lawsuits, forcing the government to pay out over $80 million in damages and incur tens of millions of dollars in legal fees. Kennedy hits the nail on the head when he concludes that, at the dawn of Dr. Fauci's career, he learned that both pandemics and fake pandemics provide an opportunity to expand the bureaucracy's power and to multiply the wealth of its pharma partners. Then there was the 2005 bird flu hysteria, where Fauci once again predicted unprecedented carnage. This time he partnered with Bill Gates and hired the now disgraced and discredited British con man statistician Neil Ferguson to construct models that predicted up to 150 million people could die from the bird flu. In the end, about 100 people died from it, and most probably had comorbidities that were the real causes of death. That was after President Bush asked Congress for $1.2 billion for Big Pharma to come up with another of its experimental vaccines. The 2009 Hong Kong swine flu caper was a carbon copy of the earlier ones. Fauci promised to fast-track a vaccine once again, and the media dutifully poured on the government-sponsored hysteria. By the fall of 2009, thousands of Americans were complaining about devastating side effects of the new Fauci shot. Fauci promised the public that Big Pharma's new drug was perfectly safe. But in reality, there was an explosion of grave side effects, including miscarriages, narcolepsy, and febrile convulsions, as well as severe neurological injuries, paralysis from Guillain-Barré syndrome, and cataplexy, as well as brain damage. Some things never change. The epidemic never materialized, and, as usual, there is no investigation of Dr. Fauci or the other medical officials who choreographed this multi-billion-dollar fraud. Congress would never investigate it because too many fingers would be pointed at them for funding the whole charade. They just collect their millions in campaign contributions from Big Pharma as a form of kickback for the millions in taxpayer dollars given to these corporations and then move on to the next phony health crisis for which they will also take no responsibility. In 2016, Fauci diverted billions from taxpayer-funded research on malaria, influenza, and tuberculosis to his newest scam, the Zika virus. Right on cue, he enriched his Big Pharma partners with $2 billion to produce yet another vaccine to prevent microcephaly, a supposed effect of the Zika virus. In the end, there were 15 cases of the virus in the U.S., and none of them was associated with microcephaly. Dengue fever was another Fauci scam in that same year that funneled additional billions to Big Pharma, with, surprise, the same exact scenarios and results. In every single instance, Kennedy writes, Fauci and others at National Institutes of Health, the Food and Drug Administration, and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention load up the committees that vote for permission to market all of these experimental drugs with people who have Big Pharma connections or who are current executives for one or another pharmaceutical company. It's all rigged, all permeated by mountains of lies repeated over and over by the lying lapdog media, which pocket millions or billions in advertising revenue from Big Pharma. Have you watched network television lately? It's not about public or private health at all, but to make more billions for Big Pharma, to bloat the NIAID budget even more than it already is, while throwing a few crumbs to Big Pharma's supporting cast of house pets in the public health bureaucracy and academic world. They fully intend to keep this racket going forever, even if it kills you. For more content like this, visit Mises.org.